Welcome to Journey to Easter, the podcast where three friends come together to share our Lenten journey, struggles and triumphs. The aim is to encourage each other and you to make the most of this sacred season. So whether you're walking your first Lent or your 50th, grab a cup of tea, take a quiet moment and join us as we journey to Easter. Hello and welcome to the first episode of this brand new podcast from the Diocese of Middlesbrough Adult Formation, Journey to Easter. My name is Nicola Sweetman and I am Adult Formation Coordinator for the Diocese, and I'm joined here today by two of my friends who will introduce themselves in a moment to you, but we are really glad that you can join us and we hope that this will be an opportunity just to journey together and to receive all the graces that the Lord has for us this Easter. So first of all, I'd like to welcome my friend Father Philip. Father Phil, how are you?
Well, today I'm excited for this journey together. So Father Phil Cunner, priest of the diocese and parish priest in the Southern Deanery, so covering the towns of Withernsea and Heddon, and also the Church of St. Charles Borromeo in the centre of Hull.
Wonderful. It's great to have you with us. And Emma.
Hello, my name's Emma Morrison. I work as a doctor and I'm also in formation for consecrated virginity in the diocese. So God willing, we'll be consecrated this September, which is super exciting. And I live in Gisborough, so just outside Middlesbrough, in the parish of St. Paulinus.
Wonderful. And I am in our central deanery. I am in York. And I, as well as working in adult formation, I am married to the wonderful Kevin and we have two children. So we have all the busyness of family life going on as well as other things. So today we're just going to start off by chatting a little bit about our hopes for Lent, a little bit about what we are planning for Lent, what we've got going on. And each week we're going to anchor the episode with a passage from the Gospel, from the Sunday's Gospel, just to help focus us and to help guide our conversations. So we're going to start off today with a reading from the Gospel of Matthew. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Again it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these I will give to you if you fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him. So that's probably quite a familiar gospel for most of us, often heard at the start of Lent, often kind of the one we might even think about when we begin to think about our Lenten practice. And so I'm just interested to hear from you guys about, anything that stands out to you, but also kind of your plans, your hopes for this Lenten season. Emma, anything you want to share with us, what you've got going on?
Sure. So I think just listening to that passage fresh today, there's something about how, only one of those things was about food. Only one of them was about that kind of that physical hunger. But yeah, listening to those things that kind of Jesus is holding himself back from there in that kind of that hunger for power, that hunger for influence, that hunger to kind of being shown favored by God. So this passage actually came up quite big in my retreat last year, and particularly just thinking about this kind of temptation the devil uses of, if you're the son of God, where we've just had the passage, the bit just before this is Jesus's baptism, where God speaks over him like, "This is my beloved son." And I think there's something in this passage for me about what am I wanting to prove to God in Lent? What am I wanting to kind of prove to myself or prove to other people that God doesn't actually need me to prove? So I think when we talk about kind of challenges going into Lent or deciding what to do for Lent, there's really something for me about not trying to do this to prove myself. I'm not fasting because I want to prove to God how much I love him or how good I am at fasting, but actually really just trying to listen to the Spirit for what do I actually need to do? Like, how is God actually inviting me to grow in this season? What
For
about you,
me,
Father Phil?
it's follows nicely on a journey that I've been on already. So I'm very conscious of, where am I at this point coming into Lent, and that might be a question for our listeners as well. Where have we been on coming into Lent? It's very often not a total break in the journey, but actually the Lord will use this. For me, I've been looking a lot at Ignatian spirituality. And particularly how Ignatius talks about the bad spirit who discourages us, who tempts us towards vice, and the good spirit who wants to inspire us and move us more towards faith, hope, and charity. So I think for me, I see Jesus in the midst of that sort of battle, I suppose, if you want to call it that, these tensions that go on in our life. And it's made me think, in Lent, perhaps I just want to take some time for an examine each day, which means to pause perhaps at the end of the day, and to look over the day with the help of the Lord, with the light of the Spirit, and to say, where did I feel encouraged? Where did I feel discouraged? And to notice those different spiritual movements in my life. And hearing Jesus in the midst of that makes me think I can sit with Jesus during this journey and allow him to perhaps sit with me and be a companion in that. So, yeah, maybe there's something of wanting to be a companion with Jesus on his 40 days through my own, living out of the 40 days of Lent as well.
And that really speaks to me because I often see Lent as kind of an opportunity to reset and think about maybe like what progress have I made over the past year and how have I let that slip in some areas and just an opportunity then to bring some of those things back. And just thinking of a really practical example, I'm sure this relates to many people, but struggle with the use of my phone. I love a good scroll through Instagram, and one of the things that I did in the past year was started charging my phone downstairs so that it wasn't the last thing that I looked at night and it wasn't the first thing I looked at in the morning. And I've got to admit that practice has slipped slightly. And so just getting back to that is definitely, I feel like it's a kind of mini fast because it's not giving up. Last year I gave up social media for Lent and I'm not doing that this year, but I do feel called to kind of curb, if you like, my use of my phone and just in kind of put a little fast in the morning and in the night as a way of focusing in on actually having the Lord as the first thing I think of when I wake up and trying to have a moment of prayer with him. And likewise at night, I have got an examen book actually that I have right next to where I go to sleep and that I sometimes write in it, but I more often than not think, oh yeah, I should do that more. So that's a good reminder. So maybe I don't think I'll take it up, but I might do this Lent. But I also feel like the Lord is really inviting me to explore what it means to rest in him. And at first I thought, well, that doesn't sound very Lenten because rest doesn't seem very penitential. But actually, as I kind of prayed about it a bit more, I felt like the Lord was inviting me to rest in him and find out what that really means.
So, just as you were speaking there, Nicola, it made me think of the Lord's words at the beginning of the Gospel of John, because the two disciples are following. He turns around and says, some translations, it's, "What do you want?" Or we might say, "What are you looking for?" And so I think, relating that to looking through the scrolling, you wonder, what are we looking for when we're looking through on our phone? Or, perhaps as you were saying, Emma, about, the temptations that the devil's giving. What am I looking for in consolation, perhaps from food or from these moments where, I find influence, or I find, I don't know, something's given to my ego. What am I looking for in all of those things? And am I looking for the Lord? And if I'm looking for the Lord in them, then I'm finding rest in him, I would say.
That is really interesting and definitely something that I think I'll take to prayer because and yeah, I think I heard somebody say that our whole life is about just turning our face, our gaze back to the Lord more and more, that kind of each season, each day really is a new opportunity to turn our gaze back to him. And sometimes that's like a quite a dramatic movement, but actually it's more of a, for some of us, it's more of a slow turning back to him over and over again. And yeah, I think it lends a great opportunity for that. What about in terms then of things that we might want to give up for Lent? Has anybody got any inspiration that might help other people? I know just, I mean, my kids are decided they're going to give up sugar and then are working out all the foods that include sugar. Like they've just discovered that fruit just like includes sugar. So they're like, we don't want to give up fruit. So we've decided we're giving up refined sugar. So sweets, basically. And it's quite a traditional one, but they've come up with it themselves. So we're going with it as a family. But I wonder if there's any other kind of maybe alternatives that people are considering. Emma, what about you?
Right. So I think for me, there was something as we were preparing to make this podcast and preparing for Lent of just sitting and thinking, okay, like what is coming up again and again that like I feel God is actually inviting me to maybe address during Lent. And one of my big things that I bring very regularly to confession or spiritual direction is like impatience. So like thinking that everything I want it right now. It's like we've talked before about that Amazon Prime mindset of that, I want what I want and I want it right now. So I was trying to think of ways I can kind of get out of that mindset of seeing kind of those day-to-day activities of going out to get something as a kind of a holy thing and a place potentially of encounter. So I've actually decided to give up my online shop. So I've got very into a good order everything to my house, and then I don't have to go to the supermarket. I don't have to deal with the slow person in front of me at the checkout. But just really trying to see that opportunity to kind of grow in patience to potentially. I love it when you go. So Gisborough is a small town. When you go around the supermarket, you almost definitely see someone you know. Particularly if you go immediately after mass or something at church, there's always someone from the parish there, and actually you can have some real beautiful kind of spontaneous encounters with people. And I just think there's something about being around other people, being close to people, and not seeing kind of people as obstacles that get in the way of me getting what I want as quickly as I want it. So that's what I'm thinking for Lent. I am also going to do the classic thing of giving up chocolate. And actually, the sole reason for that is because I really love on the Easter, oh, just after the Easter Vigil, like just like absolutely binging the chocolate. Then I love coming home from the Easter Vigil and having like as many cream eggs and as much chocolate as I can like eat in one go. So, trying to do that just for the sheer like put off benefit of after the Easter Vigil, stuffing my face. Yeah, what about you for the film?
I must confess, I am a terrible faster. Absolutely terrible. I think partly just because I love life. I love the world. I love, someone says, should we go for a coffee? You think, great, let's go for a coffee. Do you want a cake? Yeah, I want a cake. Of course I want a cake. Cakes are great. I love cakes. All these different things. So I think for me, with the fasting this year, I'll start small, because I know if I set my sights on the Easter Vigil and starting all over again, then I'll definitely fail. I won't get that far. So what I'll do is I'll try and stay present day to day and find moments where I can just say, there's something better at stake here. So I'm going to say no to that. And I'll make that little offering in my heart to the Lord. Sometimes it's, you get a cup of tea and you don't put your milk in, and you can just offer that milk, milkless tea, that doesn't always taste the same. Sometimes someone will offer me a biscuit. Maybe I'll just say I don't need the biscuit. Avoid those things. Sometimes it's driving, and as kind of building a bit on what you were saying there, Emma, about kind of. Everything now, just to be a bit aware that I can pause and let someone out, and sometimes that's just a little fast in the day where I put my own agenda aside and say, practically speaking, I can help someone in this moment if I'm just ready to give up my priority, if you want to put it that way.
One of the things that's really helped me think about fasting a little bit differently is quite a few years ago now, a friend of mine said to me, oh, it was at the beginning of Lent, and he said, oh, do some fasting for me. And I was like, oh, okay, well, right. And I was thinking about, well, it's about me and me getting closer to Jesus fasting. But this idea of fasting for a particular intention and offering that, when you're missing out that thing, when you've noticed that you're not doing the thing that you normally would, or you're saying no to that biscuit, and offering the prayer in that moment for somebody else. And that really helped me kind of, I suppose, be a bit more intentional, because at the time I said, oh, yeah, I will do. So I knew I had to actually do it. And just having some intentions in mind, obviously, Lent is a great season for us to get closer to God, but also offering some of our s small sufferings for other people, and having some people in mind for that, I think can be a helpful way of looking at it.
And I think that's totally like the witness of the Christian community as well in the Acts of the Apostles. They like make a decision after prayer and fasting. And the prayer's always important, but it always seems to be attached to fasting. So, their witness to us, their example to us is that, these two things kind of go together.
Yeah, you're right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Right. And I think what you're saying there, Nicola, it's that thing of taking this away from kind of just being a kind of secular self-improvement season. It's like really holding the focus. This is about how we grow closer to the Lord and how we grow closer to each other. So like you say, like that's beautiful about sort of fasting for someone else, in the same way, we think about praying for someone else or interceding for someone, that we can offer that up and use that to grow in love for each other as well. I love that.
So if you are listening to this and you're struggling with Lent, get in touch with us and ask for some prayers. I would love to pray for you this Lent. I'm sure we all would. We'll be posting this on social media, but also feel free to email me at any time, and just and I can offer some of my fasting for you. That would be a real joy to do that. It'd be wonderful. Has anybody got any I suppose encouraging examples of how fasting does improve our spiritual life?
I think for me, I mean, this is probably going back a little bit to the kind of self-improvement thing, but I was thinking about it's a little bit like it really helps kind of build that sort of these muscles of like self-control and self-discipline, I think. So the image I was thinking of is, for people that, go out and do exercise, or I was thinking about of like when I used to dance growing up, that there's sometimes you just have to do something like repetitively and you don't kind of see that that thing is helping. Something like sprint training or something when you're doing like, running training or something. And it's not that you're see like directly seeing the benefit from that particular activity in the moment, but it's knowing that that's building you up for something else, if that makes sense. So I think there's something for me in the kind of where this puts my heart and where this kind of makes me practice. This makes me practice being self-controlled. This makes me practice being, patient. When I can say no to, I'm not going to have the biscuit, I can then say no, I'm not going to kind of pass that nasty comment about someone, or I'm going to, take a moment to be patient about these things. So I'd say that's where fasting has kind of come into my spiritual life so far.
And building these habits of holiness, it's like we build it up, like if you play a sport, you get the muscle memory, don't you? And it's the same with virtue in our lives,
Right.
I often think instead of if you're struggling with something in particular, rather than trying really hard, it can sometimes feel like impossible to get over that thing. So maybe if you struggle with gossip, for example, and it can be hard to break the habit, instead think about actually how can I pay three compliments today, and you focus on the virtue rather than the vice. And that can be a real way that I found is helpful to commit sin, no, not to commit sin. I did not mean to commit sin. To combat sin is what I meant there. To combat sin. So instead of like thinking, oh, I'm really rubbish at this, actually trying to get better at the opposite thing. And I think that little shift of perspective is quite helpful and a practical way for me to focus on the good instead of like what I'm really struggling with.
Right. I think the other thing, kind of on the back of what you're saying, Nicola, is there's something about the kind of the delayed, the sort of the almost the delayed gratification, the kind of that not everything good has to feel good in the moment. So like I think often we think, the spiritual life and particularly, our faith can just be about us feeling like warm and snuggly and close with God. But actually sometimes it's hard and sometimes we do just have to do things just because we have to do them. And I think, yes, it doesn't always feel like me not having that chocolate bar is going to do anything dramatic for my spiritual life, but it's sometimes just remembering that I'm not doing this, doing my faith, I'm not living for God just because it makes me feel good, and not everything in life is about me kind of feeling all happy and fuzzy inside.
And for me, I think it turns us towards the Eucharist. So, like, the way that the Lord feeds us, like, he actually wants to feed us.
Yes,
Isn't
that's
that
it.
amazing? So, developing a sense of a hunger for the things of God leads us to a hunger for the Eucharist, absolutely, and the fulfillment of that hungering. So it then sort of changes our whole like human existence from having these needs that we're trying to fulfill on this kind of basic level, as it were, to actually a need to be fulfilled in a heavenly way, and that's the Eucharist for us. So that can be a really powerful step on that spiritual journey.
Yeah, and isn't it wonderful that the church just gives us what we need to, in this season of Lent as well, can we find another opportunity? Maybe it's we get to go to another mass, in the week if we normally just go on Sunday. Maybe we can find one day in the week. There might be an evening mass in a parish nearby. It doesn't even have to be yours. It could be in the one nearby. Or I know something that we're doing is putting on an extra holy hour so that we can spend that time with the Lord in adoration, or even just, making use of all the opportunities that there will be to go to confession this Lent. Most parishes up there offering, if you like, of that sacrament, and the church just provides everything we need to grow in holiness during this season, which is a beautiful opportunity. But also just recognizing that we are have to get on with our daily lives during Lent as well, like nothing shuts down for us during Lent. And I remember a long time ago a priest saying to me, Nicola, Jesus went to the desert for 40 days. You are not. You out at the time I was teaching, he's like, you're at this school and and actually it's not a very desert-like experience. And for a lot of us, our daily lives are not, we're not taking ourselves off to become hermits for 40 days in some lovely, spiritual environment. We've got to get on with daily life.
Right, but I'm just what you're saying there, Nicola, reminded me of something Saint Francis de Sales says when he's writing to kind of his secular friends, that actually if you're in a secular job where, or you're looking after people, or you're kind of you've got these responsibilities, your fast is kind of giving your full attention to that. You don't need to be not eating, or like if your fast is actually causing like detriment to that's not what God is calling you to. That there's something about how we pay attention and kind of be present to the things that are in front of us, that we're kind of re-encouraged towards during Lent. And fasting isn't meant to kind of negate any of that. It's almost meant to kind of refocus us on that.
Yeah, like if you're miserable without a cup of coffee on a morning and you're going to be nasty to everyone you meet, then it's probably not the fast for you.
Right, exactly. I once tried like full on fasting when I was in a bit of a zealous stage earlier in my 20s, and I fainted at work. Like I was like, this isn't good. Like, and that's not what God wanted for me in that moment,
Wow. Great stories, guys.
Well, we really hope that this can be a source of encouragement for anyone listening. We are not perfect. We are not, our lengths are not going to be a smooth ride, I would imagine. There are going to be challenges that we will come back and chat about each week. But, we want to help each other through Lent. That's the plan. And we really want to help you through it as well, that it will be an opportunity for ultimately for us to grow in holiness. Because the one thing that I know for definite is that is what the Lord wants for us, that for each and every one of us in a completely unique way, we're being invited to take a step closer to the Lord. And the church provides us these seasons where we can really intentionally think about and listen, what is it that he is asking us to do? Because his plans are the ones that work out, not on our own steam. So I would encourage you to, if you haven't decided, what your Lenten practice is going to be, maybe just take some time today, this week, to pray about it and to try and listen to the Lord, to notice what are the things, what are the areas in my life that are causing me discomfort or making me uncomfortable? And what are the things that really bring me joy that maybe the Lord is inviting me to step into more this Lent? But also to think about that it's not just about an obligation, that it's something that is a real invitation from the Lord. And also, let us know how you're getting on. And if you're listening to this at some point during that first week in Lent and you think, oh, I haven't even started yet, don't worry about it. Just start now. Like there's no kind of hard and fast rule that if you don't start your fast on Ash Wednesday, that's it. There's no point doing it. Each new morning is an opportunity. Each moment is an opportunity to begin again with the Lord, and he's so generous in his in the way that he'll come to help us with that. So I just encourage you to think about it this week, what you're going to do, how you're going to draw closer to God this Lent. And we'll be back next week to chat about how our Lent's going and share with you the triumphs and the sorrows that we are having, and really to encourage each other to keep going. That is the main thing. So before we finish, I'm just going to invite Father Phil just to lead us in a time of prayer, just to round our conversation off today.
So I'll begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we pause just for a moment to recollect ourselves and recognize ourselves in the presence of God. Father, we thank you for all that you are doing in our lives. Thank you for sending us your Son, Jesus Christ, who shows us the pattern of our lives and the pattern of our Lent. May we accompany him through these days ahead in prayer, in fasting, in almsgiving. Lord, open our eyes to see your work in our lives. Send your light to enlighten us. And Lord, may we be firm in the face of discouragement. And may we hear your voice above all others. We make all of these prayers in the name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of
Amen.
the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope today's conversation has inspired you to take another step in your own Lenten journey. We'd love to hear from you. Share your thoughts or reflections with us on social media or contact us via email, adultformation@rcdmid.org.uk. And let's keep each other in prayer as we journey to Easter.